kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I exist.
Which is good.
I mean, yeah, I had a really rough start to my day. So the fact that I'm even here right now is exceptional.
Do you want the bad news?
Here, the bad news beat you to it.
Dang.
Yeah.
Do you not ever listen to the show before you make the tweets about it, Jacob?
I occasionally do, usually I
do. You not realize I'm not nice to anybody, except for the devs, and that's because they give us games.
Yeah.
Man.
Everybody else can get fucked. Ah, I hit my glasses on my mic.
Proud of
you. That's what you get, four eyes. Yeah.
Says the guy who also has glasses.
You don't know what I'm wearing right now.
I'm going to guess glasses.
Yeah, I'm wearing glasses.
You could probably be naked in your bedroom on a phone with a headset, socks, and glasses, and that's it.
I am
surprisingly
not
right. Surprisingly right, Joe.
I'm good at this shit.
And for our Patreon content listeners, if you want photos of proof, you know, you just send in that extra buck.
If you don't want photos of proof, you send in that buck.
If you don't want photos of proof, you're gonna send in $10 this month.
Oh my lord. How's everyone doing? Jacob's here, obviously, as people could
Yay.
Tell.
Yay!
Welcome back, Jacob. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself? See, nobody ever asked you how you're doing, Joe.
I'm excited because Mr. Sinister just came by and dropped 100 biddies.
Oh, I got real confused.
Biddies in the cup.
I got real confused because I was just like, wait, X-Men?
No.
Yes. Yep. George.
Drop it, bitch! George.
Did you really just ask why I said George?
Jesus Christ.
What?
Jesus Christ.
We're revoking you.
You're revoking me.
Yeah. You're revoked.
You're a real son of a bitch, you know.
What?
You see, on Twitch, people could drop biddies during our streams.
Right.
And when people do that,
I get that,
we play a sound effect that says dropping bits.
Oh, yeah. No, I know that.
And
clearly you don't.
Oh, my God. All you guys do is say George, and I'm just like, what? Like,
well, and guess what?
Bits.
Guess what?
Like, yeah, I would. What?
Guess what? Dropped another 100 biddies, so George, take it away once again.
Oh, dropping bits!
Oh, me?
What? No, not
dropping
you.
Dropping bits! I don't. What am I?
I said George.
When he says George.
I said George. Yeah. When I say George, you shut your whore mouth so I could play the sound clip.
Oh, you just take forever then. Okay.
Oh my God! No, you don't hear it.
Oh, the magic of radio.
Yes. God damn it! Why don't you listen to this show? Don't answer that.
Show.
Don't answer that. I know why you don't listen to the show.
We all know.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Well, no, according to Cole, it's shitter bait, but, you know.
That was my term.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't come up with that one. Don't drop that mess on me.
Hey, we got two more biddies.
No,
George.
No.
Drop it, bitch!
I love George.
Thank
George
goodness.
Is good. What do you say? He's a good bean?
He is a good bean.
Where does that term come from?
I don't know. It's just something I have said for a long ass time. And it just, stuck.
Now you have to draw a cute little bean and make it for the picture for the show, like the YOLO submarine.
The YOLO submarine was incredible, and nobody could convince me otherwise.
The YOLO submarine isn't. I want that to be a shirt design. Like, just take the YOLO submarine, a blue kind of like fade background, and it'd be perfect.
Yep.
Then holy shit, Mr. Sinister just subbed, gave a gift sub to Darius the Snow. So thank you for that one.
We're sorry.
Take your money.
There's that sound clip. Oh my lord. I have another sound clip too from Purnell.
Fucking yeah.
So we have that one. I'm going to put that one to use every now and then as well.
Nice.
Fucking yeah. Sick.
Carnage put some biddies in the cup.
Carnage too. Did drop biddies. 10 biddies from Carnage in the cup.
There's a special bit tier mote that you're supposed to be using to give us a bonus.
Is there?
You lame asses.
Don't shit talk our viewers.
Hashtag pay us, nerds.
Yeah, Jacob, give us your dropping bits. Give us, what would you say?
I don't know. I mean, I would just go with the original dropping bits thing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's the original sound clip is perfect the way it is.
I mean, it really is. Pretty much perfection.
If anything, I'd want to hear Wet Pancakes again, but you know.
Well, then give us a Wet Pancakes.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to practice it. I'm embarrassed.
Oh, you pussy. Well, Mr. Sinister dropped yet another 100 biddies. Let's get some Wet Pancakes, George.
Wet Pancakes!
Love it. Wet Pancakes indeed. Mr. Sinister, thank you so much for the biddies. You are incredibly generous. You were dropping biddies last time as well. You were dropping subs. So thank also you for being incredibly generous. You are indeed a good bean. We're going to have to make a good bean club.
That should be the bit badges, our little multicolored beans.
Yeah, but this is going to lead to like flicking your bean jokes, and
I'm okay with that.
I didn't know they had bean badges too.
Yeah, they have bit badges, and they should be little beans.
So many badges.
That's what I have decided.
Well, teach me how to update it, make them, and I'll do whatever you tell me to do. You know how this works.
Yeah, I'll have to look at the stats for it because
somebody has to be the.
I didn't know it was an option for affiliates until like a couple days ago, because apparently Shiz usually yells at me and says, "Hey, make this for me," and apparently he hadn't decided what he wanted yet, so I was just in the dark that it was a thing I could do. So I need to get on board, and probably the same dimensions as the sub emotes, but
probably
as our kitties.
I don't know how that shit works.
I have to draw stupid small. The size for the sub emotes is 17 pixels.
That is ridiculous. 17.
Yeah. So, like, it's God a real damn. Challenge to make it be something legible that doesn't get lost in the downsizing.
Yeah. And is it the same size for emotes, or do you have a little more space for those?
No, I have a little more for regular emotes. For regular emotes, you have to do 3 sizes, and then they get shrunk down depending on the situation that they're being used in. So you have to do 112 pixels, 56 pixels, and 28 pixels.
28. That sounds huge compared to 17. Holy hell.
Yeah. Yeah. The first time I did one that was 17, I was like, this is miserable. And now when I do one that's 28, I'm like, fuck yeah, I got room for days.
If we ever get a third emote, which is going to be in about 7 more years, we'll get that many people following us. But we ever get that many in a third emote, you're going to have to make a YOLO submarine emote.
It would be a good one.
I wonder if it's even possible.
It would probably lose quite a bit of detail. But at the same time, we can just put that little motherfucker on BTTV for right now.
Indeed, we could.
Although, look at that raid.
Trivium Champ coming in with a raid of six. Thank you, Trivium Champ. You were awesome, Triv. I was watching him before. He was playing some Rock Band. I love the Rock Band community on Twitch. It's like we're all buddies with each other. We're always streaming with each other and playing with each other and, you know, raiding each other. I love it. It's such a cool community, and I love being a part of it. That's why you should play Rock Band, kids.
Okay. Wait, did Jacob come from the Rock Band community?
No.
Can we send him back to whatever
community he came from? He came from my real life.
Oh, we definitely want to send him back.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I've been trying years.
Joe and I were working stock overnight at Redner's, and we got talking about video games. He was like, have you ever listened to OC Remix? And it just like avalanched from there, as I'm just like, oh my God. Like, there's this guy named Maze Dude, and I love his Doom songs. And blah, 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 blah. And Joe's like, I know Maze Dude. And like, I.
Maze Dude got drunk in my house and passed out while you were visiting.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, at that very moment, my pants may or may not have gotten a little tighter than normal. So.
Not shocked.
You know. Yeah, it's true. I do kind of have a man crush on Maze Dude.
Look at the biddies. Oh my God.
Mr. Sinister with more biddies. Mr. Sinister with more biddies. Trivium Champ with more biddies. They're all killing my computer now. Oh my God. Let's get a long one. George, take it away.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
They just keep coming, too.
Look at Trivium.
It's a bid war.
Trivium's using the bonus alert.
Trivium is using the bonus, so he drops 10, and we get 12. Yeah. And Mr. Sinister with more biddies.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to end up just calling out biddies this entire show, I have a feeling.
Hey, Joe, you know whose computer it wouldn't be slowed down by the bits? My new one.
Yeah, you're getting a new one, aren't you?
I am. I'm so excited.
And Tell us about your new rig.
I get to see it be built on stream next Wednesday.
That's cool.
That is cool as fuck. And it's funny because everybody's like, oh, what's going to be in it? And I'm like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know. All I know is I had a budget. And I sent it to my friend, and I was like, this is all my money for a computer. Please don't let me down.
That works.
I do know that I had a couple of small, like, very minor requirements, though, because I do digital art, and I do need two monitors, and I am upgrading from a digitizer back to a drawing monitor, but I'm going to a 22-inch monitor. My previous one was only a 10-inch.
Oh, Lord.
And so it's quite an upgrade.
That's what she said.
Yeah. That is indeed what I said. But it is quite an upgrade. And so I was like, I need something that's not going to move at the speed of smell. When I'm drawing, and art programs, they love to eat RAM. So my one specification was that I needed at least 32 gig of RAM.
That is a lot of RAM, too.
That is a fuck ton, because I have 16 currently in the Blue Behemoth, and it's bogged when I'm drawing. Like, it's just like, no.
That could handle all the biddies, because Carnage dropped 5 more with a bonus one. And then Mr. Sinister... just dropped another 100 with a bonus 20. George, once again.
Drop it, bitch!
Wow, George is getting a lot of... We're hearing George more than when he does a review.
It's true. We need a recording of George slamming the door and going, God damn it! Yeah, there you go.
Just slam my chair. It sounds good enough.
This is bullshit.
That sound good? That work?
Yeah.
Because Mr. Sinister dropped another 100 biddies with bonus biddies. Oh my God. Mr. Sinister, you are You are insanely generous, and I cannot thank you enough for all the biddies that you are dropping. You are I should just call this episode Mr. Sinister. Brought to you by Mr. Sinister.
We could just get Mr. Sinister on here as the extra co-host and just get rid of Jacob.
Dang.
Jacob don't even listen to the show, let alone come in and give us biddies.
Hey, no shit. Whoa, all right. First off, I do listen somewhat. but yeah, I don't
hey, get biddies. Who did that review again?
Which one?
A lot of them that you have put Aki down for when it was me.
What?
Yeah, there's been at least four that I can think of.
Really? That many?
Head. Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You will tweet that Aki did a review.
I go by the notes that Joe gives me.
No, I don't think you do.
I know of one mistake.
No, there's been a few.
Yeah, I only know of one.
There was one like 2 weeks ago. But then
Trivium Champ just got a gift sub from No Time for Games. Holy, like, what is going on tonight? What is going on with you guys? Is this just to interrupt the show as much as possible, Knight?
I am okay with this.
I'm okay with it, too. I mean, they're breaking the computer, clearly.
I did say, pay us, nerds. So I issued a challenge, and these motherfuckers were like, sure.
Yeah. So
now you just got your tax refunds. That's what this is.
We got so fucked on our taxes this year.
Oh, no.
I think Ashley said we owe like $3,000. Yeah. See, Ashley did this dumb thing where she would change how many dependents she would have so that she would get more money from her checks. And she would go way overboard with it instead of putting like, oh, I have three dependents and she would be like Mr. Sinister and be like, I have 20 biddies. Thank you for the 20 biddies.
You cannot count the cat as
I was about to say that. You know, it's just like, you're going to get audited because the IRS is going to be like, you have 13 dependents? What?
She told me that at one point she had it at 40.
Yikes.
Yeah, so they locked down her access to change her dependents down to zero, and it's been locked for I think 3 years.
Wow.
So she can't fuck with that anymore. We're gonna get a return next year.
Oh, which will be nice. They have to use it to pay off this year's though.
Yeah, pretty much. Six more biddies from Mr. Sinister.
You need those biddies.
I'm legitimately scared to start a topic because as soon as we start talking about something, someone's going to donate biddies and it's going to throw everything off.
It's fine with that. You have 40 cats. Pretty damn close.
Very close to 40 cats. We are getting dangerously close. We should probably talk some news. There was a lot of news this week. Microsoft came out with a lot more details of the Series X. Have you heard all these details going on?
Yes. Shiny details.
They confirmed it will be 12 teraflops, which I believe the PS4 is rumored to be around 9.2 or something like that. So it's looking to be significantly more powerful than the PS5.
It's not about power. It's about the exclusives.
It is about the games. Ow. So hopefully.
Oh, my nose is stuck now. I need to sneeze.
It is about the game. So hopefully Microsoft has the games, but they definitely have the hardware. It's going to have variable rate shading, hardware accelerated DirectX ray tracing, quick resume for multiple games, which is pretty neat.
That is pretty nice.
Whenever you open a game, it closes any other game you're playing. This, apparently, you're going to be able to have multiple games open and suspended at the same time. So give us Snap back. God damn you.
You ain't getting that back.
Yeah, I know. And then they're calling it smart delivery, which is basically cross-generation entitlements where if you buy a game and you're playing on the Xbox One, it'll download the Xbox One version of the game. If you're on the Series X, it'll download the Series X version of the game.
That I'm actually really excited about. I remember when I went from Xbox 360 to the Xbox One, and after buying the One, I only had enough to get one game. And so I ended up getting Advanced Warfare because that's what me and Studo were playing the most. But we were playing it on 360. And so then we had to buy the One version of it. And I was like, well,
wait, wasn't that Ghosts?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Advanced Warfare.
I thought Ghosts was the first
one. I was delayed at getting a One.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about at launch, because Ghosts was the one at launch.
Yeah, I didn't have
all right.
I didn't have the launch. I was a little behind. And so Advanced Warfare was on both of them. And that's what we were on initially. I still don't have Ghosts on the One. I'm a little sad about it. My collection feels incomplete.
You don't need it.
I know.
Yeah, but smart delivery sounds neat. Let's see, what other information do they have here? SSD storage, they're going to have a next generation solid state drive where, you know, because game worlds are larger, more dynamic, load in a flash, and fast travel is just that fast. Yeah, whatever. It's probably only going to be 1 terabyte, which sucks because it's an SSD and they don't want to go much bigger.
Yeah, well, The prices of 1 terabyte, like, I keep seeing people argue that a solid state drive would be expensive. It's just that the prices for them have come down dramatically.
They have. Again, but
this is where, like, I know this because I've been stalking computer shit for a while before I decided to buy mine this week. But there was, when I was looking at solid state drives, M.2 drives, like, you could get a Western Digital M.2 for 500 gig was like $50, and then 1 terabyte was like $75 or something like that. So they're not near, and that was for M.2. So I mean, they're not near as expensive as they used to be.
Yeah, but they're still not cheap compared to normal hard drives.
I don't know. I think,
like, not,
I think
cheap,
they're
cheap.
Almost they're getting there, comparable, you know, to a comparable degree.
I don't know. I still don't think we're going to see anything bigger than 1 terabyte. I mean,
you ain't going to get it for like $30, maybe, but you can get it for 50.
So, yeah. Series X. They also talked about 120 frames per second support, HDMI innovations that they're doing with, like, auto low latency mode and variable refresh rate, whatever that means. Jacob, you're into movies and TV and stuff. What the hell's variable refresh rate?
If it's what I think you're talking about, it's it pretty much just has to show with.
We're old and dumb and out of touch.
If it's what I think it is, it's has to do with, like, how many frames per second that they're going to be showing everything in, and the quality of how the picture is going to be. So you're probably going to be seeing movies displayed kind of like that. You know how sometimes, like, you'll watch stuff in, like, 4K quality, and it'll look like you're watching a soap opera.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're right there. If that's what I think they're talking about, that's that kind of video quality.
I like that effect. I know a lot of people don't, but I like it.
It's, for me, it's hit or miss. I've seen it where it looks fine, like Men in Black 3, and other ones where, like, it's Jack the Giant Slayer and it looks absolutely distracting because the CGI is just so fucking obvious. It's hit or miss. But if that's what I think it is, that's what they're talking about.
No. They also reiterated their commitment to 4 generations of gaming, mentioning that it includes backward-compatible 360 and Xbox games. So the people who think that every disc from every generation is going to work, you are out of your goddamn minds. It's only the stuff that already works. And hopefully this means that they're going to reopen the backward-compatibility program once the Series X is released. I know that's been what the assumption that they're going to do, but there's been no confirmation, so hopefully they do. I miss getting new backward compatible games.
I really hope that they do that, but at the same time, I also hope that they, like, will bring back DLC for some of those games. I completely realized like original Xbox games, we're not going to get Xbox Live back for them ever. That's fine. I mean, not fine, but I get it. However, we're missing maps from Star Wars Battlefront 2. We're missing planes from Crimson Skies. Mech Assault probably has... Well, is Mech Assault even available for Xbox One?
I don't know.
If it is. Well,
didn't they update the Star Wars games? I'm pretty sure they updated Battlefront with the DLC.
I don't think they did.
I know they updated something. Like one or two of the Star Wars games got updated with DLC.
I don't think Knights of the Old Republic got its DLC because there was
maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
There was a space station that you could just like dick around and do shit in, and it was completely inconsequential to the rest of the game. But I don't think it's on the Xbox version. I don't know. But I mean, like, it would be nice if, especially like all of our Xbox 360 games, you know, like even just like anything that came out for Xbox Live Arcade, if that could all get transferred, that would be nice.
It'd be nice, but licensing and rights and all that other happy horse shit.
I don't know.
But I don't know. Son of a bitch. Cole, what are your thoughts? Someone's not paying attention.
I did kind of zone out. I was listening to you guys, but I just kind of zoned out. And like I wasn't like, formulating anything. I was just like, okay, that's what they're talking about.
She's just saying like, Jacob's talking.
I have ranted about my feelings. Well, not necessarily ranted. Ranted implies negativity. But I've been pretty open about how I feel about the backward compatibility program. These motherfuckers
need to shut up so bad.
Did I say that with my outside voice?
Just kill them all, please. Just kill them all. I don't want to go through the pain anymore. It hurts.
That's every day. Now we're getting into too real territory. Calm down, Joe.
Yeah, just a little. So what are your thoughts on all of this Xbox One or Xbox Series X news? Does this get you more excited for the Series X? Does it lessen your excitement? Do you not care? Cole, what do you think?
I'm kind of moot to the whole leaking out information slowly thing, because in my head, I'm just going to upgrade to it anyway. So it doesn't matter. I already know that I'm locked into the ecosystem. I like my achievements. Whatever they put out, I'm going to suck it up with a straw.
Yeah.
But an eco-friendly one, because that's who I am.
What about you, Jacob? Do you have thoughts of getting a Series X when it comes out, or are you just on the fence for quite a while because you just got an Xbox One fairly
last
recently?
Year. Yeah. Was it last year? Jeez. Yeah.
Might have been the year before. I don't remember. Time is a wheel, man. I don't know.
No, it's been 2 years that I've had my Xbox One X. Oh, my God. Time does fly. So, pretty much, I was already on board for whatever the next Xbox thing is, because, I'll be honest, nobody has... nobody has exclusives that are absolute, like, must-buys for me to switch over. Like, nobody has enough. Like, there's nothing, like, I've never been a big RPG guy, so PlayStation I could really care less about. And Nintendo's stuff, I'd like to get a Switch eventually, but it's not high on my priority list. No. My only thing for the next gen is that I just want a hard drive that is big enough that I could just have all of my games there. Like, I don't have to decide, like, I don't have to play with, you know.
Man, you're never going to get one that big.
No. I'll be realistic. I think the hard drives that come pre-installed into consoles are sufficient for most players. Like, until I started following gaming Twitter, I didn't realize that people like only buy one or two triple A's all year and play nothing else ever.
No.
Because even
we're
before
the outliers,
like,
we're the weirdos.
Yeah. Like even before I was hardcore achievement hunting and you know, really super into playing all kinds of random shit. Like I would still pick up the occasional indie game, like a AAA would come out and I'd be like, fuck yeah, I'm gonna buy that. And then I'd buy like two or three small indie games in between the next AAA and keep doing it over and over. Like if there was a sale, I was gonna throw down $30 and walk out with 10 little games to play.
See, though, for me though, like my thing is that I've moved to almost exclusively digital for all of my games. And
I mean, I am too.
The whole Telltale game thing really fucked me up because I had downloaded Minecraft and Tales of the Borderlands and had the complete games on my system, and I had to get rid of them to make room for another game. And I just assumed, oh well, they're in my history, like, yeah, they're delisted on Xbox Live, but I could just go back and get them whenever. And I've since found out otherwise. And I'm honestly pissed about that.
You should be able to just bring a hard drive up here, copy the files, and copy them over to your system, because you have the license to the games. It's just they're not showing up in your download history. Carnage and I have run into this with a handful of games, and the way that we would fix it would go to like the game info and find a backdoor into the store page and install it that way. But I don't know if they have that for the Telltale games, but you should be able to just get the files from my system, copy them to yours, and play them, because you have the license on your account, you just don't have the files.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's cool, but all right, but and I will be doing that, Joe, at some point.
That's reason to visit, you dickhead.
I'm just going to put it up on Craigslist. You know, does anybody else have these games? Because I don't want to go up to Joe's house.
We'll blow for these games.
But I mean, it's just like, I mean, what if this is going to be happening again? Because I'm sure I've got Xbox 360 games that, like, I'm not going to be able to transfer over. And I don't know. I'd also just like that ability to, like, I wouldn't have to keep flipping between menus. Because I especially hate the new menu that they have up, where it separates, like, the games you've bought versus the games you got through Xbox Gold.
Yeah, I'm not Xbox a fan Live of Gold. The changes they made to the My Games and App section, the new update. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I think it's complete ass. Like, I get, like, maybe it's a way of saying, like, hey, these are games that you actually have the license to, and these are the ones that you don't. But at the same time, it's really ugly, and here I am, like, having to flip between, like, three different screens just so I can download all my games, and it's just, I just want them all on one nice screen, and I can just bring them up whenever the hell I want. Like, that's all I'm asking for.
I mean, they kind of have that with the new dashboard, where when you go to the My Games and Apps, go down to full library, and it shows all games, and it has literally everything of yours there.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm talking, like, I'm going back to the whole hard drive thing.
Yeah, I know you want to have everything down. Look at someone like me who has 2,700 games. You're never going to find a hard drive. Tough shit. You're never going to have a big enough hard drive to satisfy everyone. I think they should have at least two on the Series X. I don't think that's asking too much. I think two would be smart. It would be a lot for games. It would be, because I think PlayStation's only going to go with one as well. I think they're both just going to go with one, and I think it's going to be a mistake. Yes, they're going to be solid-state drives, but games are still getting bigger and bigger. You know, I wanted to get some achievements in Ark to do a weekly challenge this week, and it's 90 gig for Ark.
Uh-huh.
Jeez.
Halo. That's ridiculous. The Halo Ultimate Collection, Master Chief Collection, That's what, another 95 or 100, something like that. So games are getting huge. We need more than 1 terabyte of space.
Yeah. So, well, I'm pretty sure they'll, like, I mean, inevitably they'll release, like, one with a bigger drive. I mean, they have, like, they will. It'll cost us, like, $100 more or some shit like that. But it would be nice if it was right out the gate.
The Series X 2.
Too serious, too furious. Too
serious, too furious. Oh, my God.
Some more news this week. The Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus lineups have been announced. Some decent games across the board for everyone. Anyone hear anything about these, or am I the only one?
I thought I did, but I don't remember what.
I know I saw them, and I was like, okay, and then that was it.
I didn't bother to
remember what they were.
I think I own all of the Xbox One titles, but it was like the Xbox 360 titles. So I was like, ooh, yay.
Like, yeah, the 360 titles are pretty good. March 1st through the 15th is going to be Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2. Then the second half of the month, the 16th through the 31st, Sonic Generations.
That's right, because I don't own either of those, so I was like, oh, yeah.
You're the Kool-Aid man now?
Oh, yeah. No, that was terrible. Sorry.
Yeah, it was. And then on Xbox One, the entire month of March is Batman, the Enemy Within, the complete season, which looks like Telltale's back on board with those. And then March 16th through April 15th is Shantae, Half Genie Hero. Shantae.
All right.
See, I'm actually wondering if they're going to lose the Batman license soon.
Maybe, and they're just trying to get it out to as many people before they can.
Yeah.
While they can, not before they can.
That was my thought, because they made it available for free, the first one last month, I think, and next month is the other one. So I'm wondering if they're going to lose it.
It's possible.
Because they're like, oh yeah, like, you know, Telltale's back, and all that they've announced is Wolf Among Us 2. Like, I think that's all that they've got in the pipeline, isn't it?
I have no clue.
No. Cole?
I'm not sure, but I'm not mad if that is the case, because, I mean, hello.
Yeah, don't overwork yourselves and don't spread your resources so thin that you're doing 12 properties and all of them are only half decent.
Right.
No, I mean, it's just, no, I get that part. I mean, my thing is that it was just, what I would like them to do is reinstate the licenses for Borderlands, Game of Thrones, Jurassic Park, and Batman if they're about to lose it, and Minecraft. I was actually really surprised that they lost the license on Minecraft.
No, I know.
I thought that that would have stuck around, and I know, like, 2K had said that they were planning on working with them to get Borderlands back up, but then it got delisted, so I don't know.
I don't know. Licensing sucks. That's, if there's one thing we've learned from this show over 7 years, licensing is hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that episode.
That's been on many episodes. Many Harmonix episodes. Well, yeah. Licensing is hard.
True. Speaking of, Harmonix has a new game coming.
Harmonix does have a new game, but we didn't say the PlayStation Plus lineup.
Oh, fuck them. Sorry.
two decent games, Shadow of the Colossus and Sonic Forces. I'm kind of on the fence. Like, on the surface, it's a pretty decent month. But when you look at it, like, they got the worst of the two Sonic games between Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus. And Shadow of the Colossus is a PS4 version of a PS3 version of a PS2 game that people have bought how many times over the years?
All right, but to be fair, how many times have we bought, like, the Zelda games over and over again on every single damn Nintendo console?
I know, which is why people pretty much already own Shadow of the Colossus. Like, if you wanted to play Shadow of the Colossus in your lifetime, you should have played it by now. But, hey, if you haven't played it before this and it was on your bucket list, rock on, man. There you go. So, yeah, PlayStation Plus, Games with Gold, that is the lineups. Who do you think won?
Xbox.
Yeah, I'd go with Xbox. Although, I mean, I do like Shadow of the Colossus, so, you know, that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, I agree. Shadow of the Colossus is good stuff, but I still, it's so old. It is really, really old, and it's been remade how many times and redone how many times. I don't know. I think they could have picked a better game, but some bad news. EA has canceled their GDC events and are advising their employees not to attend the event.
You know, I have to take something back because I was a bit snarky when PlayStation canceled out on GDC. But at the time, my cat just broke something. Excuse me, sir. At the time, I was kind of in that the coronavirus isn't going to be that bad kind of mindset. Like, it's going to, you know how, like, they had us convinced there for a while that Ebola was going to take over everything, and then it didn't.
Yeah, well, now the coronavirus is taking over everything. Yeah, we're all going to die.
I was very false alarmed. And I was like, eh. And now,
now shit's getting serious.
Shit's getting a little serious. And so I'd like to apologize for my snarky ass remarks toward the garbage ass PlayStation.
Yeah, EA has canceled their plans. More news. Microsoft has pulled out of GDC, citing concerns about the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Kojima Productions has made the difficult decision to cancel their participation at GDC due to the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Epic Games has pulled out of GDC due to the coronavirus, and Unity has pulled out of GDC due to the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So
at this point, I don't think you could pay me to go to anything that involved multiple people.
Yeah, part of me is sad I'm missing PAX East this weekend, and part of me is like, hey, I'm going to live the weekend.
Yeah. Well, I went to Walmart. We have no cases around here, and I still wore a goddamn mask.
So. Stay away from me, you diseased heathens.
Basically. Like, my immune system would just be like, terrible disease that could kill her right now? Fucking let's go! Sounds like a party in our book. And so I'm like... trying to keep that shit under control.
Yeah. Let's see. What other news? The Wonderful 101 Remastered has gotten an official release date of May 19th in North America, May 22nd in Europe, June 11th in Japan for the Switch, the PS4, and the PC. Xbox owners can still go fuck themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Platinum Games, they made mention that they wanted this on every platform they could get it on. And then they're like, okay, well, we're only going to do Switch, PlayStation, and PC. I thought you said you wanted on every platform you could get it on. I don't, like, they're Platinum announced a new game this week. Not much details on it, but again, they said they want it to be on every platform, and I worry if Xbox is going to be excluded again. I don't know. It seems like ever since Scalebound fell apart, Platinum just doesn't want to do shit with Xbox.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And then everybody shits on Microsoft for that when in an interview, the guy from Platinum was like, oh, no, we didn't keep up our part of the bargain.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, you don't fucking say.
I don't know.
Impossible to believe that Platinum didn't keep up their end of the deal with Xbox.
Who knows? Maybe the Series X things will change and Japan will finally get on board with Xbox. I couldn't say it with a straight face.
Unnecessarily high hopes, yeah.
I couldn't say it with a straight face. A report has come out that morale at Mixer is at an all-time low and that the service is apparently being run by a skeleton crew with only a few employees. Should we be worried that Mixer might be on the way out?
Here's the thing. I'm gonna turn around here. I'm gonna look at the computer. I'm gonna adjust myself, move my mic, because I got something to say. There are a lot of people who are heralding the downfall of Mixer. You do not want a monopoly on streaming services. You don't. You never do. Not anywhere. Not ever. Monopolies are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Competition breeds innovation. And for all the shit that Mixer gets, you have FTL on Twitch now because of it.
Yeah, true. We don't have 40-second delays in between what people say in chat and what we read anymore.
that shit never would have found its way on Twitch if it weren't for the fact that the innovation from Mixer pushed them to go with it for the competition's sake. We need that kind of competition. Now, Mixer's got a fuck ton of problems. But it does a lot of things right, too. I spend quite a bit of time on Mixer, surprisingly. I spend a lot of time on Twitch. I'd say my viewing time on both is pretty 50-50 right about now. And that's a good thing. That it's good to have those options. I'm not surprised to hear that they're down to a skeleton crew. Because Microsoft has a notorious record of buying up properties that are really cool and innovative and then not knowing how to juggle them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just go, well, that was a bad idea, and throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I really don't want that to happen with Mixer, because I've seen some really incredible communities flourish there. And there are a lot of incredibly good, things to take from Mixer and see integrated elsewhere. And likewise, they could stand to, you know, steal like an artist from some other platforms, as we say, and take some artistic liberties. But it would be a shame to see it just fall apart, because people have created communities and there's a need for that kind of innovation in streaming platforms.
Jacob, what do you think?
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really care much either way. I don't watch people on Garbage. Twitch. Honestly, you know what I use Twitch for?
I'm watching the SML podcast Thursdays at 9.
Yes, that's definitely what I use Twitch for. No, once a year when they do almost every single episode of Mr. Rogers on Twitch, I'll tune in for that. And when they do their Bob Ross marathons, I tune in for that. Otherwise, I don't really use Twitch except to watch the SML podcast.
You lying whore.
It's true. I don't understand how any of these things work. Like, part of the thing is that I completely missed out on it because I was raising two kids, and so I honestly still don't quite get how Twitch and Mixer work. I'll stream when I'm playing sometimes on Mixer, but I don't ever communicate with anybody because
we found that out.
I didn't know about it until Joe told me that you guys were making fun of me while I was playing Vanquish. But it's just like when I watch like gameplay videos, it always drives me up a fucking wall when somebody's like, "Hey guys, I'm here playing Vanquish. Oh my god, oh no, he's gonna shoot me. Oh, this is really difficult. Shut the fuck up. I just want to watch the gameplay. I don't want your fucking commentary." And so when I play games on Mixer, it's always without a mic because I don't want to listen to somebody talk. I don't want to listen to me talk.
Okay, but you could still pay attention to chat and talk to chat. No. You don't have to verbally talk to chat. You just type to chat.
Yeah, but then I have to pause what I'm doing.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah, but, all right, so if I was watching somebody's game stream, that would be annoying as shit. Oh, great, he's pausing again to type some shit in the chat. I would leave your stream immediately for that. Come on now.
If I say hi four times and you don't reply to me, I'm going to leave your stream.
Okay.
That's just how a lot of people view streaming. People do streaming for the interactive experience of watching someone else do it and talking with someone else who's streaming. So it's, you're just not going to get many people watching if you're not communicating with your audience.
I was about to say, that's fine, because according to Mixer, nobody watches my streams anyway, because I don't play popular games, so... Oh, and well. Also, The only two followers I have on Mixer are you and Cole.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, meh, whatever. If it dies, it dies.
Speaking of some sad news, Kazuhisa Hashimoto, the creator of the Konami Code, has passed away this week. He obviously did not use his own 30 lives cheat.
You stole that joke from Chris.
Huh?
Chris posted that on the Facebook page.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Dick.
Great minds.
Mm.
No, I didn't know he put that on Facebook. That's hilarious that he put that on Facebook. Both of the DLCs for the game A Hat in Time, Seal the Deal, and Yakuza Metro are finally in development for the Xbox and the PS4. So if you have A Hat in Time and you've been waiting for the DLC, it is finally on the way.
That took long enough.
Yeah, no shit.
I don't know what Hat in Time is.
It's a game.
Do you even play games, bro?
Do you game, bro?
Yeah, I do. You know what I use my 4K 55-inch screen TV for? Playing Minesweeper Genius. That's what.
That was a good game, though.
It was a good game. I actually got all the achievements that I care to get. I was actually pretty
that I care to get.
No, like the ones where it's just like, oh well, you have to play like the advanced levels and not let Aristotle sleep at all on the level. I was just like, yeah, fuck that. I'm not going to bother with that shit.
Terrible.
So I got all the achievements except for those. So, oh, and also the ones about like dying 150 times or sweeping like 6,000 tiles. I'm just like, I don't care enough to get these. So
you're weak, son. Your shit's weak.
Probably, but
Facebook has acquired Sanzaru Games. They are the ones who worked on Sly Cooper, Thieves in Time, Sonic Boom, Shattered Crystal, Sonic Boom, Fire and Ice, and Asgard's Wrath.
Hmm.
So Facebook has picked them up.
I've never played any of those games. Like the Sonic Boom games, they never came out on Xbox, did they?
No.
Okay, all right. Just because I'm trying to get all the Sonic games because my wife likes Sonic and my oldest son has started to really enjoy Sonic and it's just I'm trying to get them all the games. And I was just like, I don't see any of the Sonic Boom stuff here. So I wasn't aware if they got delisted or if they just never came out for Xbox.
They were just never on Xbox. They're Nintendo only, I believe.
Oh, great. He's asking for a fucking Switch.
Well, they're not on the Switch. I think they're on, like, 3DS and maybe Wii U or something.
Oh, I'm not buying a fucking Wii U.
The hatred in your voice as you say that.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to, like...
You.
Yeah,
son fuck of the a Wii U. Bitch.
Yeah, well, seriously, fuck the Wii U. It was out for, like, 2 years. And the Nintendo Switch, by all accounts, is, like, a much better system. Like, I have no reason to get... I have no reason to invest any of my money in a Wii U.
I agree.
Yeah. Like, prove me wrong. That's right, you can't.
I can't debate that one. There's no reason to buy a Wii U.
Over a Switch.
It's just the hatred in your voice. I loved it. It's like, I will not buy a goddamn Wii U. You could burn in hell. Last bit of news I have is that Alien Hominid Invasion was officially unveiled. The co-op run and gun is a reimagination of the original Alien Hominid and will release on the Xbox One, Steam, and the Switch. No word on the PS4, so enjoy your goddamn hundreds of other exclusive bitches.
I mean, like, I vaguely remember enjoying it on Xbox 360, so I mean... That's cool that it's coming back. I don't think it's going to be a day one purchase for me, though.
Oh, I loved Alien Hominid. This is definitely a day one for me. I'm so excited about this.
Yeah.
Cole, any love or hate for Alien Hominid or the behemoth in general?
No, I'm not I don't have any attachment.
I was more into Castle Crashers.
True.
I didn't play that either.
What?
Do you even game, bro?
Man, I game so much more than you. Don't even.
Girl, you
I play good shit, though.
Yeah, so you need to play Castle Crashers. We gotta fix that. I think I have
it, too. It's the terrible part. It's probably
play it with your kids.
It's in that backlog hell.
The older kids, not the younger kids.
I get anxiety just going into my ready-to-install folder.
Oh, man. Well, that is all the news I have. Any news either of y'all want to talk about?
Well, there's two pieces I was thinking of that I was surprised you didn't cover.
Let's hear them.
So, Sonic the Hedgehog has crossed $200 million.
Nice.
Which is big news. It also beat Detective Pikachu's opening weekend gross, so it's now also the top video game movie in terms of opening weekend. So,
nice. Congratulations to the Sonic team.
And Jim Carrey has said he'd like to come back for a sequel. So I think it's going to happen. So,
yeah, probably.
Yeah, seeing as like Paramount swimming in money with this movie. And then the other thing was that, what is it, Plague Incorporated?
Oh, yeah.
It got removed from the Chinese app store.
Yeah.
For reasons unknown.
Crazy. So.
I don't think the reasons are all that unknown. It's because China doesn't like anything. Pointing fingers at them for literally anything. And that is exactly what Plague Inc. does.
Well, fair, but I mean, like, the Chinese government hasn't given them a reason why.
Yeah. But we all know what it is.
Yeah, it's true.
Carnage brought something up in chat. Activision's discontinued game list has been updated. A list of legacy games, which basically they're no longer going to support, and servers may be discontinued for these. But the list includes some fairly surprising things like Guitar Hero Metallica. I figured they would keep that one up and running. DJ Hero 1 and 2, Band Hero, Transformers, Dark of the Moon, GoldenEye Reloaded, NASCAR, The Game, Inside Line, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, and Wolfenstein.
Huh. Wolfenstein, like, for what system?
I think that's like the old Wolfenstein, like 2009 Wolfenstein.
Oh, okay. Huh. And like, I mean, like the Dark of the Moon one, isn't that a 360 game?
Yeah, these are 360 games. So are DJ Hero, so are Guitar Hero Metallica, Band Hero. They're all 360 games.
I believe Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 is actually on the 1 and on 360.
Yeah, but I don't know if both versions are going to be decommissioned or
according to TA, it has already been removed from the Microsoft store, so it's not there.
No, Ultimate Alliance has been gone from the from the store.
Okay, I remember which one that is now.
From Xbox One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
NASCAR has been removed from the store. Looks like all of these are already gone. Delisted.
God, you better still be able to download them. I'm already so fucking mad.
No, if you can't download them, I have them.
Guitar Hero Metallica has not been delisted, it seems.
I don't think that was ever made available digital.
That would be why, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the same time, though, I mean, can you even play that on Xbox One?
No, none of those games are playable on Xbox One, except Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2, which has its own separate Xbox One release.
Okay. Oh, but the Xbox One release is still listed, right?
I don't believe so, no.
No, it's delisted.
Oh, Jesus, fuck. I can't keep up.
Never wait on licensed games, because if they get delisted, it's usually out of nowhere and you have no warning. So if there's a licensed game or a movie game or anything that you want to buy and there's no physical version of it that you can find later on when they're, you know, long gone, you can buy it before it's gone.
Yep.
So that'll learn you.
That will learn me.
Cole, any news you want to talk about?
No, I already brought up harmonics, and otherwise we talked about everything else. So,
read. Ready to jump into reviews then, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. What? Oh, I was going to blow my nose real quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do I need to do it for the podcast, or can I turn off my mic?
If you really want to do it for the podcast, you can.
I don't, so I'm going
to... Because he's weak at blowing, is what he's trying to say.
Joe can attest that I am not weak at blowing. I'll have you know.
I hate to burst your bubble, but...
You bitch!
All right, well, blow your nose so that we could get into the reviews.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Jeez. Fucking pushy.
Oh my God. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm better off than Jacob's nose.
Oh my God. You good, Jacob?
I'm waiting for Cole to talk again.
You good? You ready to go? This is so dumb. All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Spartan Fist, developed by Glass Bottom Games, published by Jandu Soft, released February 28th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $14.99. Fight your way to fame, fortune, and glory in this first-person puncher roguelite as you work to retrieve the fabled Spartan Fist. Tap your inner badass and punch dudes so hard they explode. Jacob, tell us about Spartan Fist.
So, essentially, it's a first-person punching simulator. That's pretty much it.
All right. Well, we're going to need a little bit more.
All right. So, so I actually had to find this out from other sources, but apparently there's an actual story to this game.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, like, you get kidnapped and you have to fight your way out of the arena, and you have, like, cat overlords. Maybe it was discussed in the opening. It didn't really, like... The game's opening was not particularly clear, but other people seem to know about this, so I'm assuming that this was something for the original PC release. I don't know. But essentially, it's in first person. You run around as an arena, and you have to punch everybody to get to the next level. Now, there's more to it than that. The people can have like these shields up. And, of course, they're trying to punch you, too. But the shields that they have are all based around different fighting stances that you can have. And there's apparently three different fighting stances. I never really got the hang of it. I just walked around ran around and was just punching everybody and trying to figure out, like, some sort of strategy to it. I never really got it. And I honestly kind of found it a tad awkward because it was just like, I felt like I ended up getting killed by the environment. Let me rephrase that. As I got later into the game, I found myself getting killed by the environment more than other people. And it was just, I don't know. It's okay for like little quick, you know, 5-10 minute gameplay things. But as a game as a whole, if you're going to sit down and like, all right, well, I'm just going to play nothing but Spartan Fist all afternoon. It really felt like the game doesn't have a lot to offer in that regard. I will say this, the game is very pretty. Imagine Minecraft, but prettier, or at least like, you know, old school Minecraft.
So voxel graphics.
Yes. I believe that's actually the term that they use in the game description as well. And so it's just like, it looks very pretty. Gameplay is okay. It's there. I couldn't tell you anything about the music or the sound, but, you know, it...
Does it have online play, or is it just like a story mode?
As far as I was ever able to tell, it was just a story. Like, it was just you running around. I never tried dabbling into any of the online stuff for it.
I don't think they're looking. I don't think there is any online.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's an actual lot to the game. It was very much like a roguelite. And of course, like, you're going to die a lot. You're going to lose your stuff. However, there are upgrades that you can buy for yourself, but it's just, I don't know. It kind of just felt like the same thing over and over again without much difference. And it's...
To be fair, that is kind of what happens in roguelites.
I know, but it's just like... I don't know. It's just... I felt like there could have been... Like, it's a pretty fun concept. There could have been a lot more to it. But, like, it was fine, as I said, in, like, 5 to 10 minute chunks. But trying to sit there for a whole hour playing this game, it felt more like a chore than an actual fun. Which is unfortunate. Because it looks great. It plays decently. But, I know, like, your question as well, Jacob, for the amount of money that you paid for it, which, by the way, I was listening. You said it was $14.99.
Congratulations. You got it right.
Thank you. Thank you. For $14.99, I'd be like, nah, not on this. Like, I could go, like, somewhere between $5 to $10 for it, but not $15. Like, there's just not enough regular fun in this game.
There's not enough meat on the bones.
Yeah, like, it's a decent concept, and, you know, I don't know. I just wish that there was more to it.
Yeah.
And it's just... I don't know. It's not enough for the final product that got released. I was a tad disappointed because the gameplay footage that I saw when you were asking if I wanted to play it, it looked like a lot of fun. And it's just, it wasn't one of the more fun games that I've played for this podcast.
So it's a lot like you, fun on the surface, but really underwhelming once you get to know it.
Ow. accurate. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, Jacob, thank you as always for checking this one out and for coming on and chatting with us. We're gonna let you get going so we could get to the rest of our reviews,
because, okay, good.
We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah, we don't want to talk to you either, so go away.
Okay, bye.
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 Next game to talk about is called Immortal Realms Vampire Wars, developed by Palindrome Interactive, published by Calypso Media, released February 6th on Xbox One. Game preview for $49.99. Immortal Realms Vampire Wars is an engaging strategy game set in a dark vampire world in turmoil that combines empire management and turn-based combat with unique card game elements. Descend into a mythical world filled with horrors and legends and hurl yourself into a compelling gothic epos paired with a challenging game experience. Cole, tell us about this one as Jacob is still on the line.
God damn it. You fucking ruined it.
Theme phone calling.
Damn it.
Into the
I was going to be like, surprise, fools, I never left.
We know.
Yeah.
It's like I don't have Skype pulled up.
Shut up. All right.
Hang up on him.
Yeah, I'm leaving.
Cole, tell us about Immortal Realms Vampire Wars.
So, you made the statement that it's challenging in the summary, and I just want to point out that this game is not for beginners in any way, shape, form, or fashion. He's still sitting there, isn't he? Did he mute so that we couldn't hear him?
No, he's gone. He's actually gone.
Okay.
I'm agreeing with you. This is... Like, in most games, I feel I could just jump right into the game and kind of know what I'm doing, or at least bullshit my way through it. Yeah. You must play the tutorial in this game, and even when you play it, you're not going to know a lot of what's going on, because the tutorial isn't the most clear in the world.
No. And I want to reiterate, I play a whole lot of card games at this point in time. There would have been a time a year or so ago where you told me that I was going to like card games. I've been like, fuck out of here. And then all of a sudden, like, Slay the Spire just turned my world upside down. I'd like to think that I am a little bit above average at being decent in card and strategy type games. I love strategy games. I'm a natural at those. Not to toot my own horn, but toot toot, bitches. So when I tore into Vampire Wars, I was like, okay, I have my foot in the door. I should be able to handle this. I was so fucking confused. I'm just like, a line, a dot, an indicator, something. It is not an intuitive game to play.
Not at all.
And even with the tutorial's help, what little of it gives you, you're still just going to be throwing your hands in the air going, I don't know, put a card over here because that seems like a good place for it.
This is what it's letting me do, so let me do this.
There was very much so a few moments where I was like, this is the only thing it's letting me do, so I guess this is what I do. Which is unfortunate, because like I said, I consider myself pretty decent at these kind of games. Combat-wise, the combat was slightly more intuitive. If you've ever played anything with grid turn-based combat, you could at least figure out, okay, the highlighted squares are where I can go and kind of come up with a little more of a strategy for what you were trying to do. But overall, as a whole, like, there is a very, very steep learning curve. That said, if you can learn the game, holy fuck, there's so much content. I was sitting here trying to think of how to write notes on the lore for the game, and then I just threw my hands up and was like, none of this is, I can't condense it down. There's so much. And I didn't think that I could summarize any of it and do it justice without just like spoiling everything I knew, which wasn't much because I suck at this game.
want to spoil too much. This is just a preview. So we're, you know,
exactly. But
not
I mean,
spoiling with, too with much.
that was the thing too. Like there was a lot that was still not even available. Even certain missions would be like, you can't do this, this, or this on this mission right now. And you're like, oh, okay, thanks. But
game
it is,
preview, early access.
It is game preview. And so there's a lot of wiggle room for what the final game could be. But for what is there right now, it's very impressive.
Difficult, but impressive.
Yes. And that makes it hard to be like, oh, this is going to be so bomb at, because it's like, I don't know if even I can get my mind around it. It's going to be, they really need to smooth out the explanation and tutorial phase a little more. But again, it's game preview and there's plenty of time for them to do shit like that.
Yep. So as it stands, as a preview product, is something, you know, you're buying into a preview, you don't know what you're getting with the final version. This one is at $50 in game preview. Is this worth checking in right now, or is this worth waiting for a little bit to see how it progresses?
I think if you were going to go in solely on the sheer volume of content, and you were dedicated to the idea of the game, you were determined to learn how to play it properly, and you knew you were going to be investing the time to get through the whole game, then absolutely. There's definitely something there for that type of player. But I think if card and strategy games are new for you or outside of your norm, then you might want to hold off and see where they take it more toward completion, because at this point it's just too difficult for most players.
Gotcha. All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Townsman, A Kingdom Rebuilt, developed and published by Handy Games. It released February 20th on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Townsman, A Kingdom Rebuilt is a medieval city building strategy game. Features a complex economy system requiring you to build production lines, trade efficiently, and keep the balance between tax income and your townie's happiness. Cole, I know you've been addicted to this one. You haven't been able to stop talking about it. Is it as good as you've made me believe?
So, I have issues when it comes to city building games, in that I'm horribly addicted to them. Literally any kind of city building component, and I'm like, well, this is my life for the next 3 years. So yeah, in that regard, Townsman is definitely checking all the boxes. I will say that I think that this game is as hard as Vampire Wars was in its genre, Townsman is the opposite, and I think it's the perfect beginner city builder on console. The controls are very simple. The concept is very simple. It can be a little repetitive. There's a campaign, which is basically your tutorial. It runs you through several tutorial scenarios. And then you have the meat of the game. And I want to point out, I didn't do a full-on count, but I want to point out that there is an achievement for every scenario, for beating every scenario. And then there are just like a couple of achievements for basic situations, like completing, making so much bread or whatever, right? There are 100 achievements in Townsman.
100? Holy hell.
100. And even with as much as I've done, I think I've only got 49. Yeah, but I have just been ungodly dedicated to this game. It has a bit of a cartoonish aesthetic. The whole concept is basically you're playing as a lord who, after a war in the kingdom, you're trying to build your city back up, but there's some accusations that maybe you were a little on the responsible side for what happened, and you need to prove that you're a good person and that you deserve your lordship and that you can take care of your people. It is, like I said, it is more on the simplistic side for a city builder. You do have seasons. Things will grow in certain seasons. You need to plan. Like, if you're going to have a whole bunch of people farming wheat, then you need to figure out what the fuck you're going to do with them in the winter when wheat doesn't grow. But there's one big hitch that gets me, because it's so simplified that for the resource bar at the top of the screen, where it shows like how happy your population is, how many workers you have available, how much food you have. One thing that it does that I do not like is that it shows you how much storage space you have, but not how much you have of each resource. So you may be like hitting 100%, but you may not have any bread and everybody's hungry. It does show you the food separately, but your wood, your wedges, your charcoal, your iron ore, your armory, even your pigs and your sheep, they're not shown to you, and there's not like a quick way to get in and find out any of those stats. I'm not 100%, but I don't think it shows you at all, even in the option menu. Okay, I lied. Yeah, there is a stock tab in the tab, but you have to go like into the in-game menu and then go through the stock to actually see what you have, rather than having any kind of like short something you can glance at. It just says, oh, you're at 100% of your warehouse space. So I think, given that that is my biggest complaint of the game, should tell you something. that's such a minor thing to bitch about.
Yeah.
In a city builder. And it's not like the stat isn't there. It's just that you have to dig for it a little.
Yeah.
But it's still there. Yeah. And I've done like half the scenarios, and I didn't even bother going to look for it. You can kind of just deal with it, you know?
Yeah. So, minor nitpick aside, $30 on this one. What do you think?
You know, given how simplified it is, normally I'd be like, I don't know if it's $30 worth. But there are so many different scenarios there to play. And I think there's enough content to justify and give you that time for you know, money value. So I'm okay with it. Yeah, I think it's a buy it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Frederick 3, developed and published by Forever Entertainment, released February 20th on the Switch for, shit, my thing's in the way, $9.99. My cursor was right on top of the number. I'm a genius. Frederick 3 is a continuation of the music game series popular and appreciated around the world. Certainly not covered this one. Wrote in a review. Here's what she's got to say. ASML podcast. It's me, certainly not back with a second review for a second week. Could this be the start of a trend? I hope so. Ha ha. Well, if we keep getting games in, then yes, I guess. This week I'm reviewing Frederick 3 on the Nintendo Switch. It's the third in the rhythm game series published by Forever Entertainment. In this game you play as Frederick Chopin, or is it Chopin or Chopin?
I believe it is Chopin.
Chopin. Who is incidentally my absolute favorite classic composer. Oh God, she's going to bitch at me for this. She's going to kill me.
We're both in trouble now.
You said his name wrong. I know, I'm bad with names. As he is hurled through time and space to defeat the Zeitgeist, the ultra evil cybernetic Time Lord. So yeah, it's authentic to history. The story is fun and quirky. The Zeitgeist is jealous of Chopin's talent, which he can't steal. So he steals his heart instead and uses his own cyberneticness to enhance other famous classical composers, who must be defeated in order to restore them to their original selves. The dialogue is minimal, but every other line had me chuckling at the silliness of it all. I mean, there's a golden DeLorean, for fuck's sake, that does not take itself seriously, and I respect that immensely. What this game does take seriously is the gameplay. It's almost as if the developers said, this is a rhythm game, and you will put some respect on this genre. The game is not easy by any means. There's two modes, normal and hard, and I have to be honest, I am in no way ready for hard because normal was kicking my ass. To be fair to myself, I've been out of the rhythm game for a few years, so my finger dexterity isn't what it used to be. That being said, there's no tutorial, no guides or handrails. After the first cutscene, you start immediately and may heaven have mercy upon your soul.
Yeah, sounds about right.
You are playing with the weapon of choice being the piano. You have access to 7 keys, 4 white and 3 black. And from there, you press the notes as they speed towards you in conjunction with their respective key placement. One thing I really liked about the game is that it's fully touchscreen supported, which means you can play with your fingers or you can use the mapped buttons. I highly suggest using your fingers. I tried it with buttons, but it felt weird. But setting the Switch on my lap or propping it up felt just much more natural. You're able to adjust the size of the keys if you need to, which is a very nice touch. Still, my hand cramped up after about 30 minutes and I needed to take a break. The bosses are the cyberpunked out composers. That's such a weird premise. And the evil Zeitgeist, which is 9 chapters. The fights are simple, but not easy. In order to beat the boss, you have to do enough damage to him. And there's a big old red bar at the top of the screen to show your progress. However, if you mess up notes, the boss gets health back. There are combos in the game, but I don't know what they do or how to get them. I'm guessing hitting notes in a row, probably like perfect timing or whatever. They're blue notes that I assume are special, but I don't know how. I did figure out that the notes with the white trail behind them can be held down for more points, but points don't really matter in this game. I really could have used a tutorial. I want to talk about the overall art direction. It's incredibly stellar, and I'm really sad that I can't look at the level design more because I'm concentrating on these piano keys and notes. From what I was able to pick up, it's really lovely. You're on the one side and the boss is on the other, both feverishly playing their piano, but there's also little touches that whiz across the screen. I saw gargoyles, cherubs praying, things of that nature. I really love the little chef kisses like that, even if I can't follow them all. Naturally, the music in the game is amazing, a treat for my ear holes. I wish I could have played more of the music more of Chopin's music since he's my fave, but it's really awesome to hear reimagining of these classical tunes. When I started my battle against Beethoven, I was like, I know this song, and it helped keep me with the notes. Yay for recognition. Frederick 3 is available on the Nintendo Switch for $9.99, but as of this writing, it's on sale for $8.99 through digital download on the Nintendo eShop. Should you buy this game? Hell yeah, you should. Regardless of my gripes, the lack of tutorial and its considerable learning curve, I really had fun with this game. Play it, let your kids play it, get some artfully disguised classical culture in your life. Thank you, Serlina, for the review. Sounds like it's a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
rock on. All right, next game to talk about is called Draugen, developed and published by Red Thread Games. It released February 21st on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. Draugen is a single-player first-person fjord noir mystery set in 1920s Norway. Explore a forgotten coastal village in your search for your missing sister, accompanied by your independent and enigmatic young ward. Cole, tell us about Draugen.
Holy shit. This
good
game takes,
holy shit, or bad holy shit?
Good holy shit. This game takes a lot of twists and turns in the narrative that I never would have seen coming. And that's all I will say about those. I'm a little surprised that I haven't seen the fanfare for this game that we saw for similar titles. It's very much a exploratory narrative slash walking sim, if you will, but it falls in line with games like The Vanishing of Ethan Carter and What Remains of Edith Finch. It's definitely in that same class. The art direction and the art style, the scenery, everything is just fucking gorgeous. It was incredibly impressive. There are moments where during the dialogue where the ward that's in your care with you, the young lady, her name is Alice, and she was talking to me and I would look away at something else and she would actually get annoyed and say, "Look at me when I talk to you." And I was like, "Okay, fine, fuck, sorry." You know, if you try to wander away, she'll say, "Hey, come back here. I'm not done with you yet. Where are you going?" And she very much keeps you in line because it's so easy to just get lost wandering around in this world and just looking at everything because it's so pretty. But Alice is a fantastic character. I really enjoyed her presence in the game. I don't know that this game could have been carried if it wasn't for a character like Alice. And that's funny because very much so in like What Remains of Edith Finch and The Vanishing of Ethan Carter, you're alone. But the dialogue play between Edward and Alice is just, it's what sets, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the title of this name. It's what sets this game apart though. And makes it such an enjoyable experience. The way that they interact, their push and pull on each other, the way that she is so flighty and free spirited, whereas he is very strict and by the book and is just, he's focused on his mission. And she's like, "No, but let's go look at this," you know? And it's like, I enjoy the way that the characters interacted with each other. And what makes that even better is the way that they were voice acted. It sounded very natural. The dialogue was not at any point where you were like, "Oh, they're just repeating the lines over and over." Like even when you use the ability to call for Alice, the lines that Edward will say, they don't recycle frequently unless you're like sitting there absolutely spamming the button. Like you would have to stand in the same area and spam the button 9 or 10 times before you would get a similar dialogue prompt. The dialogue just continues on and it all flows together very well. It was interesting because I was like, I kept wanting to wander away, but the game kept you on the rail so that you knew where to go. And never did I feel like I was lost or I was confused. It was so well laid out in that the moment one action occurred, even without any kind of prompt, it just naturally guided you to the next action. There's a lot to be said for that because I remember one sequence in What Remains of Edith Finch, as much as I loved it, where I just kept walking back and forth between two rooms because I was confused. I lost like my pathing and I just couldn't get back on track. I was nice. Like, "Well, fuck." But at no point did I have that happen with, I don't know how to pronounce it. I got the draw sound and that's it.
Draugen.
Draugen. That sounds so terrible in my accent.
That's my guess, Draugen. Draugen.
They pronounce it in the game too, and it's not something that I can flow off my tongue. I can't do it. There's Draugen. Definitely Yeah, because there's that Norse inspiration. It takes place in Norway. And so that kind of colors how certain things like that are said. And I'm just like, okay, sounds good. Bye. but yeah, I knew that I was going to like the game just based on the concept of it. Not a lot of ways you can fuck up this kind of game. Walking sim is a walking sim. It takes a lot to make me go, ah, this was terrible. but I didn't expect to fall in love with it quite as hard as I did. And I would easily say that it is my number one for the week.
Ooh.
And that's with how much I've played Townsman and how much I love Townsman. I would say that Draugen. I wish I could pronounce the name of the game that I love so much. It's a good thing I only talk about games on a podcast.
Yeah. Hey, you heard me fucking up Frederick Chopin's name or Chopin or Chopin, Chopin. Choppy, choppy.
we got this. But it's an incredible game. If you like any kind of narrative, interactive movie type of experience, then I would definitely recommend it. I will say that there are some very heavy themes involved. I don't know how to mention what they are without giving anything away, though.
Just content warning.
Just general content warning that, you know, yeah, you need to go into it. If you have issues with anything that normally books you, maybe just don't. But beyond that, if you're okay.
If anything at all bugs you, don't play this game.
Yeah. Even that. What's that one where like people get all torn up about things that look like little holes? Don't even that one. Just be like, yeah, I'm good.
Well, all those people aside, $20, what do you think?
I give it an absolute buy it. I can't believe that it hasn't like gotten more attention in the walking sim horror circles. It deserves it. It needs to be shouted from the rooftops how good it is.
Well, when the tweets go up, make sure to retweet it and get the word out.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, see, I haven't said anything about it up until this point because I never know with embargoes. Yeah. Even though you tell me, I can't keep shit straight. So I'm just like, I don't talk about a game until after I review it because I figure by that point the embargo's gone and we're fine. And now I can go shout it from the rooftops about how fucking amazing it was.
Oh, my Lord.
If you only buy one game I recommend this week, let it be Draugen.
All right. Well, next game to talk about is called Antares, developed and published by Sonalu Entertainment, released February 28th on Steam for $11.99. Grab your gun and blast your way through the infected horde as you try to save humanity from the ultimate doom. Gather resources, upgrade your weapon, and explore the story of why you are the only one left alive. Or are you? Cole, tell us about it.
Oh, it's so hard to decide if anything is alive here. So Antares is a first-person shooter. Players have been sent in with an AI companion. Shit went wrong on a mining research facility, and basically you gotta go figure out what happened. It turns out, though, that some of the researchers with this facility were fucking around with human DNA. Nice. And when shit went wrong, so did the humans. And now they are all skeletal, zombified, mummified things that bum rush the fuck out of you. I want to know how there were so many people aboard this facility, though. And I say that because when you first encounter any kind of enemy whatsoever, like, you just absolutely get swarmed. And while I can appreciate a game that's like, hey, here's, you know, a seemingly non-problematic enemy, but in a large swarm that can drown you out and fuck you over, it just seems very unrealistic for the premise of this game that there are so many enemies. Like, at least Dead Rising was set in a shopping mall. It made sense there were a fuck ton of people there. But on a mysterious, futuristic 2078 space mining research facility, maybe there wouldn't be hundreds of people to get, you know, bully over.
You never know.
Very, very weird.
Could have been a new hire weekend.
Maybe they were all there for training or something. It was a
job fair.
Yeah.
Job fair gone wrong.
Bring your family to work day. Initially, when I started playing Interiors, I was like, okay, this is a pretty impressive looking game for a solo show. But then I realized that the scenery just kind of is. And is very nondescript. And for as much as I love how Draugen, like, pointed me where to go without outright pointing me where to go, and Tiris doesn't tell you shit. Like, there are no indications of where you're supposed to be. It will tell you, oh, you need to get to the bridge. And you're like, yeah, good luck with that, because there's nothing that points where the bridge is at. There's nothing that indicates you're going the right way. It's just walk down a hallway, get swarmed by zombie mummy things, die, try again. So I was playing this on Steam. I want to point out that I had double the minimum requirements for Antares. And yet the game repeatedly froze, stopped responding, straight up crashed. I had a lot of frame rate issues and some lag. There are definitely some polishing issues involved with Antares. It's a one-man show, yeah, but it also did not run with the minimum specs like it should, like it said it needed.
No.
And it was problematic in that regard. So I would say if you are going to check it out, then at least make sure like your computer can blow the fuck away. Cause even with it set down, I started off on Epic setting and it started great. I was like, wow, this is actually going to run at Epic settings. I'm pretty content here. And then, I ended up on low setting. And still, the game just crashed and fuzzed out and couldn't run properly.
Wow.
So I was disappointed as far as that goes. I think that there's a lot that needs to be done behind the scenes for this game. And as I said initially, where I was like, oh, well, this looks pretty decent. Did I have enough VRAM? Yes, I did. It said that Aki in chat asked if I had enough VRAM. It said that you needed a GT, I can't remember, a 1060, the equivalent of a 1060, and I have way above that. So I was like, well, that's unfortunate, but it's just, I don't know enough about playing games via Steam to be like, oh, well, it was a memory leak or something like that. But something is amiss that it's not as smooth as it could be.
Yeah.
And as I was saying, where I was like, oh, the graphics at least look pretty solid. But then it kind of became apparent that there's a whole lot of asset usage going on here. So I was like, well, I can't even like harp on it for being great looking. I thought it was kind of questionable when the first enemies poke out, because they look like these skeletal zombie things, and their shading and just their overall appearance doesn't fit in the rest of the game. Like, everything's well lit and super modern, and then like these look like mummies that are in a pyramid. So, so it definitely kind of like clashed. And once you got into it, it didn't look as good in gameplay as it did on the surface.
No.
If you really, really just need to, like, plow down some ancient-looking creatures in a sci-fi-ish setting, I guess it ticks the box. But overall, I would say maybe wait until it gets a little more work done to it and it has a few upgrades, like update cycles, before you maybe check it out.
Dark Mika, do you think she'll like it?
Yeah. Probably not. No. I'm sorry. David's home with number one, so give me just a second.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. I thought we would be done by... No, Jacob is slow. So...
For the best breakfast this side of Lake Michigan, come on down to Joe Cam's Pancake House, right in the heart of Milwaukee. Biscuits and gravy for miles. Deep pocket buttered waffles. And all the pancakes you can guzzle down. Serving breakfast all day, 7 days a week.
Next game to talk about is called Ganbare Super Strikers, developed by Reese Games, published by Rattlelake Games. It released February 25th on PS4 and Vita, 26th on Xbox One, 28th on the Switch for $9.99. Ganbare Super Strikers is an innovative mix between tactical RPG and soccer. Win matches to level up and earn new equipment that will allow you to learn special abilities, boost your player stats, or protect yourself against altered status effects. Cole, what the hell is this game?
It is exactly what it sounds like it is. It is
weird.
Yeah, it really is. I was impressed by the level of detail in the character customization, though. Just one moment. She just comes in here and stands, and I'm like, I'm recording. Go to bed. It's almost 11. You gotta get up in 6 hours. What are you doing? Teenagers, though.
Gotta love them.
I don't think we've ever had an embargoed Rattlelake.
I don't think so either. This was the first one.
We don't ever get them with enough time either, because they're quick, easy completion kind of games usually. But you need a little bit of skill and time if you're going to play Ganbare. It is a tactical RPG. You have a soccer field. You create your character. You create your team. And then you're plunked down into the middle of the soccer field and you have to basically dribble the ball down to the other end and get it in the goal like you would if you were just playing soccer. But it's turn-based movement. Each of your players can make 2 moves per turn. When they're exhausted, that's it. You have to just move on and let it end the turn. But you can move them within their, you know, their grid on the field. You can use your movements to block, to dribble, to pass, to shoot. But then that's where, like, the RPG combat element comes into play. It's so hard to describe this game because
it really is. It is such a unique, weird game.
The RPG, like, combat element comes into play, whereas, like, if you are facing off against the goalie, then your player's power level for the attempt to shoot goes against the goalie's power level. Here's the thing, though. I never figured out if I was actually gonna get past them. It felt more like it was luck of the draw, even though there was definitely some statistics involved in it happening.
Well, it does look a random roll for your attack, I guess.
Yeah.
For when you hit the ball, and then depending on how far away you are, it loses points.
Yeah.
For each, I guess, each square that it moves, it drops by like 10 points.
Right.
So it then compares to the goalie's power, and if the goalie has more power, he stops the shot. If your shot has more power, it goes in.
But even when I was in front of the goalie at times, like, I would purposely move everybody stupid close, because at least then I felt like I knew it would go in. And playing on easy mode, like, they didn't stop me from doing it, so here I am. So I would move, like, crazy close, like within one square of the goal, and I'd be sitting right on top of the goalie with my nuts, and I would kick And then he'd still stop it. I'm like, you lying piece of shit.
I don't know. I'd have to see what you were doing.
I'm playing the game wrong.
Yeah, probably. It's a weird game to play. So
it is. There's definitely a learning curve to it, which is not something we normally say about a Rattalaika game.
Not at all.
I do think it was impressive, though. I think there was a ton. The campaign was like a whole big full tournament experience, and you had to actually have some kind of skill, even if you were playing it on easy, which clearly I didn't have. For somebody who plays soccer with cars, I was having a hard time actually playing it with humans. A little bit of a twist there for you.
Shocker. But
yeah. Let me fly through the air in a closed coliseum, but don't actually put me on a field with grass. Incredibly interesting scenario there. But as much as I was struggling with it, and even though I wasn't doing well, I could appreciate that it was a unique take. Like, I don't think I've ever played a soccer game that played out like that before. And it was a good matchup of two genres. It's niche, but it's unique and it's well done. So even though I'm not good at it, I give it bonus points. It's all the same.
Well, then $10 on it. What do you say?
Yeah, I'd give it a buy it. Not even a fuck it, why not? I think it's a solid buy it. I mean, it's going to appeal to certain types of players, and then there may be players like me who aren't going to be particularly good at it. But I think if you get it for $10 and you're like, wow, I'm bad at this, you're not going to be too upset. Because at least it was good, even if you have to work a little harder to learn it. Don't break into it thinking you're going to write a like an achievement in 15 minutes. So
no, not at all.
You're going to need to put your time in.
The achievement list is pretty straightforward. It's basically just beat all of the teams and then earn stars. You can get up to 43, and you only have to get 20 for all the achievements.
Yeah, but it's going to take some skill to actually get all 20. You're not going to do it with your eyes closed.
Agreed. But still a really, really interesting, unique experiment of a game.
Yeah. I like to see games like this to me is an example of a good single person developed indie. This was a one man show too.
Was it?
And yeah. And so I think this is a good example of it where one dude sits down at their computer and creates a game that's just out of left field.
Yeah.
You know, that I like to see that, even if it's not my style or it doesn't appeal to me or I'm bad at it. But it's so out of left field that it makes you go, you never would have seen that in a AAA.
Yeah.
That's a good indie.
Agreed. Well, moving on, we got to get Dark Mika in here. She's got some games to talk about, so let's call her up.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm alive, and it's Chopin, by the way.
Chopin?
Yep.
I was right.
Oh, I
thought
no
you said Chopin.
No.
I don't know, whatever. Whatever. It's long show.
I can't even say pin. With this accent.
Chopin.
Yeah, it wouldn't work anyway.
All I know is she's a dork, and apparently so am I, so it's okay.
It's okay. We got two more games to talk about with you, Dark Mika. The first one is called Castle of No Escape, developed by Dex Team, published by Zytilin, released February 26th on Xbox One for $3.99. Explore the mysterious castle full of monsters and secrets in a quest to collect all the treasure that will also protect you from the curses on your way and crush the main boss. The game won't let you exit the castle no matter how you try. Technically, you can win, but there is no end. Can you tell us about it?
Can you go ahead and tell them what number two is as well, just to make life easier?
What, the other game?
Yeah.
Castle of No Escape 2, developed by Dex Team, published by Zytilin, released February 26th on Xbox One for $9.99. Prepare yourself for the dangers of the cursed castle. Countless heroes have tried and failed to destroy the ancient spell that holds its walls. Meanwhile, hundreds of monsters are roaming inside, guarding the sword shards, and the last known thing to be capable of defeating the demonic castle owner, thus shattering its magical structure. I guess you want to talk about both at the same time?
Partly, but yeah. They're both dungeon crawlers, obviously. They're very different dungeon crawlers, but they're both old style. You play as nondescript hero that you get to choose in both of them from a selection of three. And then you have to be in a six-story tower where you have to kill the same demon in each. They're basically the same game. One's just a much more evolved version of it. In the first game, you play as either a thief, a mage, or a knight. And there's three stats that every character has. There's strength, which is how much attack power and health points you have. So when you get when you get damaged, that number goes down, and you can't attack as hard either. The next one is dexterity, which is, you know, whether you're going to get hit or whether you're going to hit. And then the last one's intelligence, which is for magic. I don't think there's another actual purpose for that other than just its magic power. And each one of the three of them has obviously different stats based on what they are. And you can, I think, double the highest one that they have is the max limit for it. So for the knight, you start off with 20 strength and you can max it out at 40. I mentioned that for a very, very specific reason. This game is bullshit. In both games, everything is randomly generated. The placements of everything is random. And the first one, it's a lot worse than the second, and I'm going to explain that right now. You can start the game. You don't see anything on the floor you're on except for the tile you're on, because it's all done by tiles. Once you move to a tile, you see what's on it. And that can be anything from a monster to a chest, a book, some money, what have you. Usually it's a monster because, fuck you, that's why. And they'll put monsters wherever the fuck they want. It's not like, oh, this is floor one, there's level one monsters here. Floor two, oh, these are slightly harder. No, it's, this is floor one. If you take a step, you might land on the fucking boss. Because we can.
Randomization.
Yeah, the problem with this, though, is, as I stated, you start off let's just go with the knight, because I actually know the strength stat for that. It's 20. That means you do 20 damage at max, and you can take 20 damage to you. Like, half the monsters in the game are 42 or higher. And the max that the knight can get, who is the one who can get the most strength, is fucking 40.
That's beautiful.
40! And the boss has 999. So even at max, you can get one-shot by enemies.
Wow.
Yeah. That game pisses. Because of that, the game is really short and you die pretty quickly. Beating that game is all about luck. There is one specific way to beat the boss. And even doing that, you're still likely to die because it's all down to fucking luck. I don't like that. I did not like the first one. Like, I like that it was nice and quick and you can get through it real quickly, but I don't like when it's like, here, this is all luck based. Fuck you. I can't stand when games do that. So
only $4? Because it is pretty cheap. Is it worth checking out for $4? I know I played a trial of it and I got like three of the achievements for 300 points fairly quickly. So even achievement hunters who just want a couple of quick achievements have, you know, they could tap their vein a little bit on this one.
Oh yeah. If you only want just a couple, if you want to 100% this, it's not going to be fast because you're fucked. But if you just want like one or two achievements and you don't care and you're like, oh, here, $1 an achievement. Yeah, sure. Fine. Whatever. Otherwise, I wouldn't suggest this one. I did not like the first game. I liked that it was quick, but I did not really particularly enjoy the game outside of that.
Well, what about the second one? Because you said that's more evolved.
It is significantly more evolved, because it isn't fucking tiles that you move to. It's rooms. You're actually walking around in it, which means you can simply walk the fuck out the way of an enemy's attack, so you're not going to die in one hit. Fucking thank God. In this one, you have a different set of three, but they're effectively the same thing. You got a spearman, a hunter, and I think it's a fucking cleric or some weird shit. And again, they all have different stats. But you don't actually raise stats in this one. Instead, you're like, oh, you can find armors, you can find a shield, and everyone can equip them, but you can find them in the dungeon. You start off with slightly different stats. I think it was attack, speed, and defense, I think it was. And, you know, those are pretty self-explanatory. If I have to explain what those are, you probably shouldn't be playing anything. You probably have to think to breathe. So, but because of this, you get to move around in each individual room instead of just, this is a tile, you're on it, decide whether you're going to attack or move. Because that's all the first game is you've landed on a tile, do you want to move, or do you want to fight what's there? The end. This one, you go into a room, and you actually get to move around the room. There's enemies, there's traps, there's fucking sometimes chests. It's fantastic. So, and each, as I said, you had those three characters. You can also unlock another three of them. I don't remember what they're called because I haven't been able to unlock any of them. Because this game is also somewhat randomly generated as well. But the enemies, the strength of the enemies aren't. So the stuff on the first floor is the easiest stuff that you're going to hit. You might find those enemies on other floors as well, but each floor you go up is going to get harder and harder. And I don't actually know how you even get to the boss in this one, because I've never survived that long. This game takes a lot longer between your deaths, but because it doesn't feel cheap when you die in this one, because you get to move around, you get to dodge the attacks. You don't have to...
When you die, it's like, your fault. It's not luck.
Yeah, because like the other one, it's based on what is your dex stat, and here's a random roll to see if you dodged or not.
No.
This one, you're physically fucking doing it. If you don't get out the way, you're a dumbass and it's your fault.
Well, the second game... So much more. You got really quiet there for a second.
Oh, I said I jived with this one so much more. This one was so much more fun for me.
Nice. Then for $10, what is your verdict?
I say go for it. This one, you're going to spend at least that long, especially if you want to 100% this game, because it's going to take you so long to be even find the fucking boss, let alone beat it, because I've probably spent about 8-9 hours in the game. I still haven't made it to floor 3. So... Yeah,
so it's a tough
terrible
one.
At it, but it's fun. Yeah, they're both tough, but one of them's cheap tough, and the other's just tough. I like this one significantly more than the first one. I say go for this one if you're going to choose between the two. Go for the second one. There's no real story in between them. It's go in, you're here to kill a demon, that's it, the end. There's no story to it. So
sometimes that's all you need. Anything.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good stuff. Aki, thanks for being here. Thanks for chatting with us. Cole, you still awake?
I am.
It's a miracle.
Were you playing something?
Maybe.
I'm surprised you weren't drawing a bean.
That delay of Cole, are you still there? Maybe. I know you're unpausing because you're doing something. What are you doing over there?
I'm playing Talisman. Look, I only got half the achievements. I'm not done yet.
Oh, that's beautiful. Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks again, everyone, for being here. Thanks to Jacob for coming on and chatting with us again. He's ridiculous. He'll be back on again next week too. So
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, we can't escape him. So let's see. Anyone got any final words to end the show?
Everyone's a nerd. That's all I have. You're all nerds. Fucking nerds.